Amen.
Blog Talk Amen. Radio.
How great
Hallelujah. 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 Adonai Elohim, we give you praise. Good evening and welcome to Gatekeepers Global Broadcast. Wow, it's been so long since we've had a broadcast that I'm extra excited tonight, especially about the topic and our guest tonight. The topic is Enter Jesus. Do you remember, can you think back when Jesus entered your life? This week, 41 years ago, Jesus entered my life. I asked him to come into my heart and be Lord and Savior of my life. I remember it so clearly. I asked him to just clean me up and walk me through the rest of my life with him. I made a commitment like I've never made before, and I've kept my commitment. So I thank God for reminding me. I give honor to the woman of God, Dr. Alberta Johnson, who was my first pastor, who resembled Christ in my life, who walked in integrity. She practiced the principles she preached, and she took me under her wing like one of her daughters. And I praise God for her. She just loved my family unconditionally. And quite a few of us got saved at that time. So I was reminded of that this week. I'm so blessed that that happened in my life right before Christmas. And Christmas became totally to me. 41 years of walking with the Lord. It hasn't been all simple, sweet, and easy, but it's been all worth it. So we give God all the glory, honor, and praise tonight. I welcome every listener that has that's calling in, that's streaming in to Gatekeepers Global Broadcast. I'm so thankful that you would take the time out tonight to join us. And I believe, God, that these prophets that are part of the remnant are going to explode the frequencies and the airwaves tonight with what thus saith the Lord about Enter Jesus. I want to give a shout out to the nations. I know there's 70-some by now, but I know I don't have them all listed. They don't call in from these nations. They stream in. But I want to give a shout out to China and Mexico and Mongolia, Brazil, Peru, Australia, Bangladesh, Germany, Togo, France, Netherlands, Tobago, Norway, Ireland, South Korea. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you. Trinidad, Ghana, Israel, London, the UK, Sweden, Canada, Republic of Serbia, Vietnam, Egypt, Thailand, Dubai, Tanzania, South Africa, Philippines, Kenya, Pakistan, Belgium, Malaysia, Nigeria, New Zealand. We give a shout out to the Lord for you tonight, and we ask God to bless you and keep you even through this pandemic and the trying times in the earth today. India, Argentina, Russia, Somalia, Greece, Croatia, Namibia, Japan, Barbados, Slovakia, Nicaragua, Jamaica, Ivory Coast. We give a shout out to you, and we ask God to keep you covered in the blood of Jesus. Venezuela, Turkey, Denmark, Portugal, Lithuania, Iraq, Cameroon, Bulgaria, Romania, Ukraine. We ask God to keep you safe from the torments and the warfare that Russia brings into your nation. We bind those demonic forces from your nation in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we loose the power of the Holy Ghost upon your nation to keep every believer in Christ safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and to draw those to Christ that don't know him in the parting of their sins. We pray that prayer for you tonight, Ukraine. We give a shout out to Austria and Poland, Libya, Papua New Guinea, Mozambique, Uganda, Myanmar, Burma, Italy, Democratic Republic of the Congo, Zimbabwe, and Ethiopia. We give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you tonight. You got to have some saved people in those nations because you're on my map that you've called in or dialed in at one time or another. And we just wanted to recognize you tonight. And for the other nations that I haven't called out, we give God all the praise, honor, and glory for you tonight as well, your families. And Lord, I just thank you. I humble myself before you tonight, Lord. I can really feel the presence of the Holy Ghost tonight. Hallelujah. I think our topic is so appropriate for thousands of reasons. I was running out of space to write about Enter Jesus and everywhere in our lives where he has entered into every situation, every difficulty, where he enters into the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, where he goes with us and makes crooked ways straight before us. My God, hallelujah. That's one of the best parts. So I just wanted to read about one of the main entries of Jesus. I'm just going to read it and then move on. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Then in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by Adonai into the town in the Galilee named Nazareth, and to the virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, the angel said, "Shalom, favored one, Adonai is with you." But at the message, she was perplexed and kept wondering what kind of greeting this might be. The angel spoke to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Yahshua, Jesus. He will be great and will be called Ben Elyon. Adonai Elohim will give him the throne of David, his father. He shall reign over the house of Jacob for all eternity, and his kingdom will be without end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am not intimate with a man?" And responding, the angel said to her, "The Ruach HaKodesh will come upon you, and the power of Elyon will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One being born will be called Ben Elohim. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son in her old age, and the one who was called barren is 6 months pregnant, for nothing will be impossible with God." So Mary said, "Behold, the servant of Adonai, let it be done to me according to your word." And the angel left her. My God, that was Jesus entering the womb of a woman. Hallelujah. Chosen to leave his place in heaven to enter a filthy, dirty, sick world and a womb of a woman. So we give God praise for this scripture. We know it's not going to happen on Saturday, that it's happened over 2,000 years ago. And if you have not given your life to Christ, or you know somebody who hasn't, this is what you need to do. You need to inform them that this Saturday is not the birth of Jesus. We just celebrated at that time because it's not even the right date. It's some other date that one of the prophets on tonight might know. But you need to tell them, if you have not given your life to Christ, it's so simple. He didn't make it difficult, that he died on the cross for you and rose from the dead, that you would have everlasting life. And ask them to repeat this prayer after me. And anyone that's listening to this broadcast, streaming or dialing in, whatever, if not tonight live, whatever time you tune in, whatever day or time zone, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, take over my life, not part of it, but all of it. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the precious blood that you shed on Calvary. Cleanse me. Turn me from evil to righteousness and use me for your glory. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. It's just that simple. My God, it's just that simple. Before I gave my life to Christ, I never remember receiving a tract on the street. I never remember anyone asking me if I wanted to give my life to Christ. I happened to be visiting that pastor's home, and she said, before you all leave, let's have prayer if it's okay with you. And we all knelt down and prayed. And I didn't know anything but the Our Father and the Hail Mary because I was raised a Catholic. And so I just listened. And while she was praying, I saw this great big burst of light. And I recognized that that light is described Paul seeing on the road to Damascus. And after we finished praying, I told her what I saw when I was on my knees while she was praying. And that was the first beginning of me being a seer, that God cleansed and sanctified my sight at that moment, that I would be able to see in the spirit. And she told me that the burst of light that I saw was the Holy Ghost. So I just thank God, hallelujah. God doesn't leave us alone. He wants us to hear him. He wants to talk to us, and he wants us to walk with him. Hallelujah. So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. I'm thankful. I'm going to pray a short prayer. I'm going to introduce my guest speaker, my first guest speaker. He's new on the broadcast tonight. I hope it won't be his last time on, and I'm honored to have him on. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We give you praise. We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God, before you. We ask for your mercy and your grace to be upon us, our families, our children, our siblings, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us just this year. I thank you, Lord, for taking me into six nations this year, keeping me safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, being my protector on every airplane going and coming back home. Lord, being my escort into every nation, everywhere I went, on every island, on every sea, on every boat, Lord God, you were there, and I thank you. I ask God that you would bless each and every one listening tonight. Open our ears that we would hear what your spirit has to say to us. Bless and anoint these prophets, Lord God, Prophet William, Prophet Chadwick, and Prophet Benjamin, in the name of Jesus, use them for your glory. Lord God, let us hear something we've never heard before. And we thank you. Encamp your holy angels around us, each one of us, the airwaves, the frequencies, line the angels, Lord God. Protect this broadcast as we go forth in your name. We bind any weapon formed against it and right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We give you all the praise, all the honor. And I want to thank, I want, Lord, for you to bless my coworkers, Lord. You bless me to have the job, Lord God. You bless me with the promotion, and you use the man that I've never seen before to do it. I ask that you would bless him, Lord God. Bring him in to know you like I do. Touch his life, Lord God, just because he was a blessing to me. Touch his household, Lord, touch his mind. Draw him into the kingdom as never before, Lord God, hallelujah. Let him cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, let him see it as a necessity. And Father, we thank you for him and all of those that have been kind at this place of employment in this high school to me. I lift them up to you, Lord God, that you would pour out a blessing upon them in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for keeping your angels around that school and in that school at these crucial times, Lord God, where children are being used by the devil to do just demonic, murderous things in the school system. So, Father, we thank you for divinely protecting us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So I'm going to read the bio of William S. Estes. He is alias Watchman. He is a young minister of the gospel, originally from Togo in West Africa, but now living in the United States of America. He is called by God to the office of a prophet. He is going from city to city, state to state, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to bring many souls into the kingdom of God and to enforce God's original plan and purpose on earth before the day of the rapture. His ministry and messages are on the new creation, we are in Christ, and more on the ministry of reconciliation as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the little bit we know about Prophet William. Prophet William, how are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm blessed and I'm honored to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Linda. I'm very honored to be here.
Thank you. Your mic is open. Oh, I'm blessed. I'm thrilled that you're on. I'm looking forward to next time that I see you. You said you were flying into Maryland today, so I don't know what your location is, but I'm in Maryland, so now we're neighbors. So
yes, exactly.
I'm just honored that you're on. So just give to us tonight what the Lord has given you. God bless you.
Amen, amen. And once again, I thank the Lord Jesus for this opportunity to be here and to minister to all those who are hearing me tonight. And I thank the Lord Jesus for your life, Evangelist Linda, and the life of all the ministers and the life of all those who are connected for such a great work that you are doing in this time and this season. It is the doing of the Lord through us, and we all appreciate, we all honor that. Father, we thank you tonight. Have your way. Use me as a vessel to speak to your people, to edify them, to give word of exaltation, to bring word that will change, that will cause a turnaround, that will make somebody come much more closer and become intimate more than before with you. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your power set somebody free. Let healing, divine healing, be on this platform as the word is preached. Holy Spirit, have your way and touch the heart. You convince the hearts of people. You have done it for me. You have done it for many on this platform before, and you continue to do this beautiful work. We thank you and we bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. Wow. I'm so excited and I'm very honored and I'm blessed. Let's just go straight to the scripture. I want to talk a little bit. And my first scripture is in the book of Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7. It says, be careful for nothing, then, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, my goodness, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when first I read the scripture and I get to the place where it says, and the peace of God, I was like, there is a peace that is coming from God. And that peace past all understanding. You cannot comprehend it. You cannot understand it. It's just amazing. The peace of God, your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. It was through Jesus Christ. So I read it all over again, and I say, who is that man? Because where I am right now, I need the peace of God. If there is God that is somewhere, I need that peace. I need that peace. And I hear from John 14:27, Jesus speaking, he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gave it. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So I found out that to get access to that peace, I got to find a man that is Christ Jesus. Who is that? Who is that person? Everybody is calling the name of God. And we don't know which God are you calling. We don't know. But there is a certain peace for sure that is coming from God. And that is past all understanding. And that peace shall keep your heart and my heart, your mind and my mind through Christ Jesus. So I somehow found myself one day in the book of Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus speaking to a crowd. And as I was passing by that day, I carry in my mind all the things that are troubling me. All the things that I'm scared of in life, I carry so much weight upon me that I do not know who will call me and say, come unto me. I carry a lot of things in my life that nobody wanted me to come close to them. I'm telling you, I was rejected by everybody. Nobody wanted me. Nothing good came out of me in those days. Nothing good came out of me. I wondered what have I done to people. I wondered why I look so bad to people. I didn't do anything bad, but people didn't like me. Nobody liked me. It looks like even my parents didn't like me. I'm not appreciated. I am not loved. I am rejected. Nothing that come out of me please people. Then I was walking by that day. As I walked by, reading in the book of Matthew 11, verse 28, I hear this man say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and that will give you rest. I wondered, what is this thing this man is talking about? But he said, come unto me, because that is what grabbed my attention at the first place. It touched my heart so much because nobody talked to me in that manner before. Everybody wanted me to be far away. But this man seemed like he was not afraid. He didn't care about things that people are seeing in me. Though I was full of dirt, though bad things were coming out of me, his word toward me were, come unto me. So, and at the first place I look at, I say, maybe it wasn't me. because there was a crowd there. Jesus was speaking to a crowd there. But since I hear those words, I stopped. And I just wanted to hear what this guy will talk about, because many people come with all those good intentions to accomplish something, but just they are full of good words, but nothing at all. They could not do anything. They could not help me. I've known many people, and you certainly, as you are hearing me, you have known many people that you thought that they could help you in your situation. They could help you while you were going through all your worst. You have heard good word, but nobody wanted to help. Jesus came on the scene and said, come unto me. And he said, all you that labor. Oh, for sure. I was going through laboring. I was going through a season of my life. It has been not just one season, but many seasons of my life. He said, all you that labor. So suddenly I was like, this must be a joke. Jesus, I don't really know who you are, but you saying to a crowd, all of you, if it was just me, I will believe you, but now that you are addressing to many people, thousands of people, and saying to them, all you that labor, how can you solve the situation, the crisis, the problem, the issues of so many people? How is it possible? Are you a man of your word, or are you just one of those guys? But he said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and that will give you rest. Wow. Who is that man? And whenever Jesus is speaking, every word that Jesus say, he mean it. Jesus mean every word that comes out of his mouth. He mean it. And if he said it, he will do it. I wasn't sure about it. When I was 15 years old, I was very young, and I didn't know that much in life. But I just wanted to be like other people, the way they are enjoying life. And though I was born again in those days, I didn't really know Christ. I was saved, but Jesus was not my Lord. Like many people today, you are saved, but you don't know him. You are saved, but you have never come close to him. You did the prayer of salvation, but you still don't know the Lord. You are saved, but your life is still the same. Nothing changes. You wonder why people are talking about this Jesus. And they are talking about how everything changes in their life. But still you feel like nothing changed. You are still the same person, the same problem. Everything is going on. You know him as a savior. You have not known him yet as Lord. So I went through some series of issues in that life, in my life, that I have come to the place where I say, if Jesus is very that great, how come I fell in this place of my life? Then I went home and I say, you know what? I think I want to go back to the world, because if you are that really great, I should not have fail in this place. I cannot fail, but it looks like you failed me, and because I was not mature, I didn't know enough. I was very young. And that night I say, guess what, Lord, I'm just going to the world. I'm going back to my old life. And I went to my old life because I saw all the people, all my friends, they are enjoying life. They are doing all the bad things. Nothing bad happened to them. And who is going to convince me that I am a sinner? Who is going to tell me that what I'm doing is wrong and all those things? They are doing it. And my life, I try to follow Jesus. And guess what? Nothing changes. I said, no, I'm going back to the same thing, the old thing. Then I went, and that day as I was leaving, I remember that I hear the Lord said, come back unto me. I will be here, and I will be waiting for you. And I went to the world and did all those bad things possible, and I even get worse. I even get worse in my life, and I wanted to be rich. I wanted to be a drug dealer, and I wanted to be in pornography and all the bad things. Somehow I didn't know where those things come from, but those things just entered my life and took hold of me, and all my mind were on this thing. And I get worse, that I get close now and get in touch with witchcraft, black magic, and all those things. And I was there before that man who was doing the ritual, and I was looking into his eyes. He was looking into my eyes, and suddenly I hear the voice that came to me and say, I have not called you to be in this place. I hear that voice so clearly, so audibly in my ears, as the scripture says of his word, give it light to the simple. I never hear God in such a way. A certain fear came upon me at that moment, and I knew that I was in the wrong place. I was doing the wrong thing. I was convinced.
Hallelujah.
Right there, in that place where I was about to give my soul to the devil, I was just convinced right there. The Lord intervened and said, I have not called you to be in this place. And I was afraid. I didn't know how to get out of that place. I didn't know, because I was afraid. I was like, if I turn, they might decide to kill me or something. But somehow I didn't know. I waited, and somehow everything just went well, and I get out of that place. When I came home,
hallelujah,
I was laid on my bed. I cried out all the tears of my life, and I said, Lord, I was wrong, and you were right. I was wrong, Lord, and you were right. And in those days, all doors were closed to me. All doors were closed. All doors were shattered. I was drained physically. I was drained emotionally. I was drained financially. All those people, all the money that my parents trust me with, I used them. I used those finances for all the wrong purposes. And I have not accomplished anything. Then I come back home and I say, Lord, I was wrong, and you are right. I need you to intervene for me. I repent for my sin that night. And I was expecting the Lord to do something in my life. But the next day when I wake up, it was like I was under demonic oppression, and I wanted to commit suicide. I just wanted to die. Just the next day. And there was one of my friends who invited me to the church. And I went to that church. And I said that day, that night, I said, Lord, if you don't speak to me tonight, if I leave this place, I will surely get some poison and drink it and die. And when the service was getting to the end, the man of God started prophesying and speaking and releasing the word of the Lord to everybody in that place. And I was waiting till the end. And the pastor didn't even mention anything about me. And he was like closing that meeting. And I was saying, okay, Lord, now I know that I have to die. And while this pastor was closing this meeting and by finishing by saying amen, he said, there is a person right here. You are planning to do so and so and so. And he was just talking to me right there. And he said, don't do what you intend to do because the Lord wants to use you. From that day thereon, I come to know who the Lord Jesus is. I get to know Jesus better, not just as my Savior, but also as my Lord, that my life depends on Him. He is the vine, and we are the branches, and the life that is in the vine is flowing through the branches. I can never remain the same person while I'm getting my food from the source. If the vine is well, is prosperous, is rich, is good, guess what? I am as he is in this world. Then I remember when he was talking in the book of Matthew 11, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Since that day, I enjoy the rest of God because I understood now the rest of God, the peace of God, the rest of God is something that is beyond understanding. And the moment that peace comes in your life, the moment God, Jesus, enters your heart, the moment you take hold of the word, of his word, the moment you believe in what he says, no matter what happens around you, no matter what is going on in the world, whether there is COVID or not COVID, guess what? Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word are truth. If he say he's going to do it, he will do it. I never get close to him until I started reading the word and getting closer to him and getting to talk to him more and becoming intimate with him. What we lack today is the intimacy with God. We lack the intimacy with God. We are saved, but yet we have become religious people. We need to get into the relation. It is a relation that we have with him. He talked to us. We hear from him. We talk to him. He hears from us. He answers us. We commune. We fellowship. That's where the love is. And when you are in that relationship, you can see the rest of God from every side. And when I hear, he said, the peace of God that passed all understanding shall keep your mind and your heart through Christ Jesus. I remember that peace of God when Jesus was in the sheep with the disciples. Jesus was sleeping, and the other disciples were awakened, and they were looking to the winds, to the waves that were coming to destroy them. Jesus, as the disciple, shake him. He wakes up, and he say, peace be. Hey, that day I realized that Jesus is the author and the finisher of my faith. He is the one who can speak to the storms and command the peace, because the peace of God, the rest of God, Jesus is that rest. Jesus is that peace of God that was given to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That life is the true life. That life is the life that is beyond understanding, that no matter what happens in life, You are not afraid. You are not shaken. That's why Philippians 4 verse 6 started and says, it says, be careful of nothing. I'm here tonight to tell somebody, be careful of nothing, but in everything, prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. God desires intimacy. Prayer is the place where we become intimate, intimate with the Lord. Prayer is in the place where the love of God is poured in our hearts. Every day that we come close, that we commune, that we fellowship with Him, He enters, He occupies the house. If the house is empty, guess what? Demons will come. But that night, when He spoke to me again the second time, His word filled my heart and gave me light. He gave me understanding. Suddenly, all the demonic oppressions, all the torments, all those things that saturate my mind left me suddenly. I was filled with joy. I was filled with peace. I feel rest in myself. And from that day till now, I have not left Him, and He has not, I would say He has never, though my work may be imperfect in somehow, some days, in something, Jesus has never failed to His word. He say, I am with you always, and in fact, He is. The Lord just sent me here to share this word with somebody. That He, His desire is to occupy the house. Many are saved, but many have not come to the place of being intimate with the Lord. Many are saved, but we have not made Him our Lord and come to a place of intimacy. That's why many are still running after many prophets today, to hear the voice of the Lord. While you can assess the voice of God by yourself in your house, wherever you are, even right now, because He just wants you to hear Him, and He keeps talking to you. But the place of intimacy is there for you and Him. And the Lord is ministering to me as I am speaking, that many are going through mental situations, breakdown, financial breakdown, mental breakdown. You have been defeated. You have been defeated. You have been tormented by the enemy. And the Lord is saying tonight, as you hear this word, do not harden your heart. But receive tonight the rest that I am giving unto you. The rest I have fulfilled. I have given unto you. Receive that rest tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray right now for anybody at the sound of my voice, whatsoever you have been going through, may all winds, all wicked winds, and all wicked arrows that has been shooting into your mind tonight, let those demonic arrows be off of your life. Let those demonic arrows be off of your life. May the peace and the rest of God fill your heart, fill your whole body. May you never be drained physically again, never emotionally, never financially, as you receive what He has for you, His rest, His rest, His love towards you. That's what God has for you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. His desire is to change you, is to change you so you can see the you that he has called. You are still seeing the you that people are talking about, but Jesus wants you to see the you that he has called, the you that he has perfected, the you that he loves so much that he has to go to the cross so that you might be free. You don't have to go through all those oppression today. You don't have to go through all those attack again. No. You need to receive a life that refreshment of the Lord, that peace of God. Never be tormented again, because what Jesus has done, he has done it once and is over. And he knows what he has done. He came and accomplished it. He has done it. It's over. It's over. And it gets,
amen.
Guess what?
Hallelujah.
Even the devil doesn't have the keys of his house. Because when Jesus died, the Bible says he died the death of a sinner and went to hell. And when he went there, the Bible says he spoiled all principalities and powers. He make a shoe upon them openly, triumphing over it. And he took the key of death and hell. That's why when you read in the book of Revelation 1:18, he said, I'm alive. I was dead. And I'm alive again. And I have,
amen,
the keys of hell and death. That means death and hell has no power over you. Jesus has given you the whole thing that you need. That's what God has given to you. You see, the Bible,
amen,
says, if God has not spared his own son, how much more shall he not give you everything that you need? He knows what you need better than you. And when you take hold of that peace today, I'm telling you, you will know him as I know,
yes,
him. You will know him, that wonderful, that beautiful. He no longer the child that we celebrate, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He,
hallelujah.
Said, may you receive tonight that peace. Because God wants you free. If you hear my voice, I want you to say with me, I am free. I receive
the freedom
that God,
hallelujah,
has given unto me. I take hold of that rest today, and that rest invade my life. In every area of my life, I receive that life. I receive that life right now, that rest. Emotionally, psychologically, financially, I receive that life in my body. The scripture says, the law of the spirit of life has set me free of the law of death, of sin and of death.
Hallelujah.
That what,
amen,
Jesus has done, he has done it for you and for your household and for everybody around you that does not know him. That's why he said, come unto me, all, not just you. Remember, not just you, but it is for all that labors and that are heavy laden. I will give you rest. May God bless,
amen,
you, and may the peace of God be upon you. May the mentality of God, the mind of God, occupy your mind. May you know him as he desires us to know him. And may you grow in love and intimate and become intimate with him more than anything as we approach the day of his return. May God and the things of God occupy our mind. And may we demonstrate his love that he has demonstrated toward us while we were sinners, that we may be able to demonstrate this same world, this same love to the world and to people around us. You are blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
What a powerful testimony. True story. Hallelujah. I would pull that up on my fire stick and watch that. I like true stories. That was powerful. Praise
Thank
God.
You.
Hallelujah. Prophet William, what an anointing. What a powerful word that you gave us tonight. I'm telling you, if you have missed any of this or want to share this broadcast with anyone, they could go to www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. And within 10 or 15 minutes after the broadcast ends, it's on demand at that link. So, Prophet William, I'm honored. It's been a privilege to have you on tonight. Praise God. I hope you can hang in there and listen to the other prophets, but I am glad to have you in my state for a couple days in Maryland, and I hope to see you before you go back to home, and I'll be asking you again 2022 to give us another word on this ministry. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. God bless you.
Thank you. Amen.
Minister Chadwick, your mic is open, sir. To my audience, this is my friend, Minister Chadwick Harvey. I gave him a platform, I think it was back in 2017 or 18, 12, on his book on end time prophecy, God's prophetic timeline. Ever since, he's been a consistent, very kind to me, a confidant and a friend. Very consistent in ministry on this platform. He has some books out there. He has a YouTube channel. Chadwick, your mic is open. It's all yours. God bless you.
Well, thank you, Linda. It's good to be with you and the other presenters and also the people who are listening. I hope everybody's doing well out there at this time of year. And it's always a privilege and an honor to be with you, Linda. Thank you so much, and I cherish you as a friend, as you know. So tonight we have a very important topic that we can all agree this is such a great topic of enter Jesus, you know, with the virgin birth. And, you know, I really want to go at it in a kind of a scriptural way from Genesis to the New Testament to kind of come up with why the Messiah was birthed. And if we can put in our imagination, or if we can ponder for a moment, you know, that he was before with God in the beginning of the world. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So Jesus existed before the foundation of the world with the Father, as we read in John 1. And if we can imagine that Messiah himself, Jesus himself, was going to be transformed into a seed by the Holy Spirit and move upon Mary to come into this world so that we all can have salvation of eternal life and our sins will be forgiven. If we can just ponder on that for a minute, that God himself, Isaiah 59 and 60, that the right arm of him had to come, you know, which is Jesus the Messiah, the new covenant, and he had to be transformed into a seed to the woman to be birthed out. And then he was birthed into the world, you know, for his mission, which is ultimately to be crucified, buried, resurrected, and to ascend to the right hand of the Father, and then pour out the Holy Spirit on the Feast of Pentecost. If we can really grasp that, it's totally amazing. You know, so this seed comes in Genesis 3:15, as we see it. It's the first messianic prophecy in the Bible is Genesis 3:15. We're all very familiar with it, that the seed of the woman was going to have enmity with the seed of Satan. You know, that was going to be the adversary, was Satan, against this seed that was going to crush Satan's head, as we read in Genesis 3:15. So in the very beginning Messiah's birth was prophesied, because he is that seed that had, or he was God Almighty that had to be transformed into a seed to be manifested onto the earth by the precious Holy Spirit to crush the serpent's head. If we can think about it, it's totally amazing when we meditate on that. So he is that seed in Genesis 3:15 that was prophesied to be birthed for salvation of Jew and Gentile, of all mankind, John 3:16. And then what do we find in Genesis 12, Genesis 15, Genesis 17, the Abrahamic covenant, you know, that was established with Abraham, that he had a promised seed. The pure royal lineage had to go from, you know, obviously Shem, you know, or Noah, Shem, on down to Abraham, you know, was that pure royal lineage seed through Isaac, through Jacob. So there had to be a seed line in the Abrahamic covenant. Covenant theology is so important to understand, because it gives the pure royal lineage from Genesis 3:15, the seed that's going to crush Satan, all the way through the Abrahamic covenant. He is that promised seed. No, yes, it went through Isaac because he was the pure royal lineage, but ultimately that seed is Jesus the Messiah, as we all know, going through Isaac, Jacob. And then what do we find in the Davidic covenant? We find this seed that was going to be from David, that was going to sit on his everlasting throne forever and ever, you know, on David's, in 2 Samuel 7, where Jesus is that seed as well, as we find in Matthew 1. You know, that's why Matthew wrote it like that in the genealogy, that people really just gaze over to get to the other stories of the Bible. But the genealogy is so important, because he's telling us that this is the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. This is the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, as Matthew writes in Matthew 1. So he's telling us that he's that promised seed, that Messiah that had to come onto the earth, you know, to save us from all of our sins. And we're going to read this in the New Testament in a minute. So I'm just leading up through the beginning to the New Testament to confirm this identity that we have of our Savior that was born from a virgin birth, entered Jesus into the world, you know, as a human being. God manifesting into a human being. It's totally amazing when you think about it. Again, Isaiah 59 and 60 is a great passage to read about God's right arm of salvation, because no other man could do it. So we find this seed that was going to, that was prophesied in the very beginning in Genesis 3:15. It's confirmed again in Genesis 13, 15, 17, the Abrahamic covenant, the promised seed over the promised land. You know, that was the two great promises, and others, but those are the two great promises we'll focus on now. And the Davidic covenant builds and extends upon that, you know, that he's going to reign on David's everlasting throne over Israel, over the promised land. He's that seed as well. And again, that's why Matthew wrote it like that, the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's telling you to go back to the covenants to correlate this seed from Genesis 3:15, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant. And as we all know, he is that new covenant in Jeremiah 31 and also in Ezekiel 36. That's where it's first written. And then obviously we know what he did for on Passover for us when he was crucified for all of our sins. He crushed the serpent's head, and he will do that literally when he returns. So it's just a phenomenal story that he had to be birthed into this world to accomplish everything that was written by his own word. He is the word of God. In John 1, he wrote this about himself to Moses, and then he came to fulfill it. I mean, it's pretty remarkable how he fulfills his own word and stuff. But if we can take a look, if you have your Holy Bible, we can take a look at Luke 1, and this is all going to correlate together of the total mission that Messiah was on at his first coming and what he will be on at his second coming. Yes, he came to save mankind for eternal life, but he also came to fulfill the promises that God established with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and even his own son, Jesus. So it's so important to understand this covenant theology and the identity of him and what he came to do, like he said in Matthew 5:17 through 20, to fulfill these promises, to fulfill these covenants to not only the Jewish people and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, but also to the Gentiles. You know, I'm a born Gentile. I'm grafted into these beautiful promises that Paul writes about in Galatians 3, Also in Ephesians 2, we're in the commonwealth of Israel. Romans 11, we're grafted in. So it's so important to realize that his birth and what we're talking about tonight, inner Jesus, his birth was because of Genesis 3:15. It was prophesied, and then that seed lineage just goes through the pure royal lineage to when he was born. So if you have your Holy Bible, we'll look at Luke 1, and we'll look at verse 26. And it says this, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Okay, so Joseph is from the descendants of David. He was from the tribe of Judah. He had to be. And also Mary was from the tribe of Judah, that Davidic lineage, you know, so it had to go, it had to be pure. And both of them are from that pure royal lineage of David, which is totally phenomenal. Of course, God is perfect. So he was going to bring them to that. And now as we read to verse 28, it says, and coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. Now, this is Gabriel speaking to Mary. The Lord is with you. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of visitation this was. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father, David, Davidic covenant, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. That is the Abrahamic covenant. Okay, and then in verse 34 it says, Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and you, for that reason, the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. I mean, this is pretty amazing. Could you imagine that visitation that Mary had? And it really points back to what I believe is very important. A part of the reason it's very important for us to understand his birth and the significance of what is being said here. You know, the angel Gabriel himself from God Almighty came and he established the Abrahamic and the Davidic covenant with Mary and said, this is going to be the Son of God, and this is the promised seed of the Abrahamic covenant, and this is the promised seed of the Davidic covenant to give the Jewish people hope of the Redeemer that was prophesied in the Torah and the prophets, that Messiah himself said he was coming to fulfill in Matthew 5, 17 through 20. So this is really remarkable that there had to be, God had to transform himself by the blessed Holy Spirit into a seed, into a human being, Mary in this case, and then be born into mankind, be manifested as a human, unleavened, without sin, to accomplish the things that the Lord wanted him to accomplish. This is really incredible when you think about it. So his birth, when I think about his birth and enter Jesus into the world, the first thing I think about that is salvation for mankind, Jew and Gentile, and then also think about the promises of God and that he is a promise keeper, and he's going to fulfill these promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David. They're forever. They're unconditional. They're irrevocable. They're irreplaceable. Okay, and that's not to be confused with the Mosaic covenant, which was bilateral. It was conditional. You know, it was irrevocable for that generation who may be disobeyed or obeyed. So don't get confused with the Mosaic covenant compared to the Abraham, Davidic, and New Covenant. Those are unconditional, irrevocable, and irreplaceable. They're everlasting, as it says in the scriptures, and you can read that in Genesis 13, 15, 17. Also go to 2 Samuel 7 for the Davidic covenant, and the New Covenant in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36 and Isaiah 59 and 60. They are all three accounts of the New Covenant. And then we know on Matthew 26, he was the one who fulfilled that. So it's so important when we think about the Messiah's birth during the season, you know, what circumstances was around it? What was the reason for it? And the reason was for many. Number one, like I said, salvation for all of us, Jew and Gentile, and then also to redeem the nation of Israel and to redeem and to be the fulfillment of the Abrahamic, the Davidic, and the New Covenant. So it's amazing when we read the chapter Luke 1 that how he wrote it, it was for a specific reason. Why Gabriel came in to Mary was very, he didn't waste any words. These were not wasted words. They were very to the picture and to the point of what he's trying to communicate to her and them at the time, and then also to us, to remember, to identify with him as the fulfiller of the promises that God has ordained. So now when we look at in Luke, if we continue forward, I'd like to read further into Luke 1, verse 68, and what Zechariah said when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, he couldn't talk for some time, you know, until he said the name John the Baptist, you know, that sort of thing when he was born. So, but then once he was able to speak again, and Mary and Elizabeth and Zacharias, which was John the Baptist's parents, Elizabeth and Zacharias, Mary visited to them. And look at what Zacharias says about this as well, reverting us back to these covenants and these promises and salvation for Jew and Gentile. It says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us." In Hebrew, the word for salvation is Yeshua, which is Jesus' given name that he was given to by Mary and Joseph. His name was Yeshua, which means salvation, and we translate that into obviously Jesus. But he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant. He's from the line, he's the line of the tribe of Judah. David was from Judah as well, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old. In verse 71, it says, "Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant." You know, these guys are pointing us, Luke is pointing us back, the angel Gabriel, Zacharias, the scriptures are pointing us back to how important it is for all of us to understand, Jew and Gentile, about these covenants that we're all, whoever's a believer, Jew or Gentile believer, they are a part of these beautiful blessings and these beautiful promises that are mentioned in the scriptures with the covenants. Okay, and then we'll continue. It says in verse 73, or I'll back up, 72, it says, "To remember his holy covenant and the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father." My friends, it all starts with this Abrahamic covenant. God's plan of salvation, if you will, for Jew and Gentile, really began with Abraham, you know, with the Abrahamic covenant. That's what's so important, again, to understand covenant theology, because when we look at the Messiah's birth and look how he entered into the earth, we have to understand the prophecies that were mentioned for him to come into the earth. And then Gabriel confirms them. Then Zacharias, moved by the Holy Spirit, that's what it says in verse 67, it says, was filled with the Holy Spirit. As we know, the Holy Spirit wasn't among mankind until Acts 2, the way it presented himself then. But it says right here that even before that, when Messiah was conceived, if you will, that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty amazing. And then he started to prophesy about the Holy Covenant, the Abrahamic Covenant. As we continue to read the finalization of his birth and his circumcision, and as we know, he was circumcised on the eighth day because of the Abrahamic Covenant. The eighth day they were, should be circumcised, so he fulfilled that. Of course he did. So we have to understand that this is how important it is for the Lord for us to understand these things, how it relates to his birth and the reason, eternal salvation for Jew and Gentile, the promises, the covenants, and the final redemption that he's going to do. It all started with his birth. It all started with the prophecies that we all know, the prophecy of Isaiah 9, a child will be born unto us, Emmanuel, God with us. He had to come and dwell among us, you know, and do his what was prophesied by him was to be sacrificed as the Passover lamb and to be resurrected, to sit on the right hand of the Father, and then come as a second coming to redeem his people, which includes you and me and every believer out there, Jew or Gentile. But I also find what is interesting when we read Luke 2:25, when we look at Simeon, you know, it's pretty amazing when we read about Simeon, and we all, I'm sure, are very familiar with Simeon and what happened there, but we'll read it anyhow in verse 25, and it says, "And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. Now, this is amazing. This is, again, this is before Acts 2. This is totally amazing about the Holy Spirit. And he came into the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out from the custom of the law, which is the eighth-day circumcision, then he took him to his arms and blessed God. And listen to what he says. Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, again, Yeshua is that word, which is Jesus, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, which I was born a Gentile. And then look what he says, and the glory of your people Israel. It's so amazing when you read that, because there was always a plan for all of us, Jew and Gentile, to be saved, everything from the beginning. And I wish more Gentile believers would understand that there's a big mystery, and it's really not a mystery if we read it, but it's such a beautiful thing that he's always wanted mankind, Jew and Gentile, to be saved by the Lord. You know, it's totally amazing. Remember, Abraham was a Gentile, and he crossed over as a Hebrew. He crossed over, passed over into the Lord's ways. And we know the nation of Israel was born, you know, when Moses left Egypt. But there was always a mixed multitude in Egypt. There was always a plan for the Gentile nations to be included in this beautiful promises of the Lord and the salvation of the Lord. John 3:16, we all know that verse, etc. So he didn't have to go to plan B. You know, whenever Messiah came, this was always the plan for all of mankind to come and to be a part of these beautiful promises that he mentions over and over. And what I believe that where Simeon, you know, got that verse from, he was basically quoting Isaiah 42 and 49, you know, which is kind of talks about Israel in a way, but also it talks about Jesus himself as well. With this. So you can read that for yourselves in Isaiah 42:49. It says basically he's going to be a light to the Gentiles. You know, that he's coming for the promises of the descendants of the Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and David, but also he came to be a light to the Gentiles. So Simeon's just confirming that scripture in Isaiah 42 and also in Isaiah 49. And as we know, it takes two or three witnesses in the scriptures for it to be established. So Simeon was establishing the fact that he was the fulfiller of the Abrahamic covenant of the eighth-day circumcision. He is that seed, which is the same seed in Genesis 3:15, that crushed the serpent's head, which is the same seed of David. Remember, in Matthew 1, he's the son of David, the son of Abraham. He's reverting you back to the covenants. He's wanting the Jewish people to understand that Jesus is the Savior, okay? And then as we know in Romans 11, Ephesians 2, Galatians 3, that the Gentile believers who accept him are no longer strangers of the covenants, as Paul says. We are grafted in to these beautiful covenants and promises. So I hope this has given some light to one of the ways we can look at the Messiah's birth during this time and really forever is these covenants that are so important to the Lord, because he is on his promises. He is on his sworn oath. So you better believe they are very important to the Lord for all of the believers, Jew or Gentile, to understand, because we're all part of this commonwealth of Israel that the Lord wants us to be a part of in Ephesians 2. So I hope this gives you some, I hope this provokes you in a way and encourages you in a way to look at what was written in Luke 1 and 2 and why it was written that way, to revert us back to these scriptures that we've gone over in Genesis 3:15, in Genesis 13:15-17, with the 2 Samuel 7, Jeremiah 31, and Ezekiel 36. You know, those are great passages. And then obviously Romans 11, Ephesians 2, and Galatians 3 for how this Jew and Gentile mystery works, you know, with each other. So I hope during the season that we can meditate on this and meditate on that this was a promise fulfilled, you know, when Messiah came into the world. And it's almost like how babies come out of the womb, they start crying. It's almost like he was crying for the world when he came out, you know, into the world. I was thinking about that the other day. It's almost like he was crying for mankind to draw near him, you know. And as he said, if they lift me up, I'll draw men, all men towards me, and he certainly has. And it's just, I think, a unique way to kind of look at this season and his birth and realize that he has come for you and for me, for salvation, for eternal life, and all we have to do is accept the free gift of life, you know, because he did not find it. He humbled himself, as the scripture said, who didn't have to humble himself, and became a seed to enter into this womb of Mary and to be birthed out into the world to accomplish the greatest mission of all time. The greatest missionary of all time was Yeshua, Jesus, coming through a womb, who didn't have to come through a womb to be manifested into a human being and ultimately King and Messiah of all of us, including the covenant. So, friends, I hope this has been helpful for everybody. It's really a fascinating thing to think about and meditate on when we look at the covenants, when we look at what was written in Luke 1 with the angel Gabriel himself, God's messenger, saying this is the Redeemer. This is the one who was prophesied in Isaiah 59 and 60 in Genesis 3:15, the Abrahamic, the Davidic covenant, as we discussed. It's really remarkable that God's promises are going to be fulfilled, and he's going to fulfill them to you and to me and to them, and it's just going to be a glorious thing when he returns for his second coming event. So, Linda, I really appreciate the opportunity of coming on. I hope this has been helpful to some people out there to really think about it in a promise keeper way, and thank God Almighty he came and was birthed for all of us to inherit eternal life.
Well, it's always my honor and a privilege to have you on. I'm telling you, I'm speaking to the listeners now. When I first had Chadwick on, he had written his first book on God's prophetic timeline. And I found out later that he had just been saved 5 years or less. Marveled at the insight that and the anointing that he has reading the scriptures and how God shows him into these Old Testament books in the Bible. I would have thought from his deliveries and his books that he had been saved for years. And I was just amazed. I'm still amazed. And Chadwick writes songs on Hebrew events, and I'm just honored. I'm honored to know you, and believe it or not, we've never met personally, but I believe God's going to make that happen soon, and we are like confidants to each other, and I can talk to him like I don't talk to other people. So I'm blessed to have you as a friend, Chadwick. I thank you for giving your time tonight. It's always an anointed time and a special time with revelation in the Word. God bless you, sir. I appreciate you.
You as well. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. I wanted to say that when Chadwick was finishing up, I just spent 7 days in Cancun, Mexico, and I was on a boat, and we had maybe a half an hour. It docked on an island. We had a half an hour to kind of circulate and do some shopping, and I had walked past this young lady in this it was a vendor, and if you've ever been to an island, the shops are just packed and loaded. Every inch has something, hats, clothes, t-shirts, whatever. And she was standing there, and a guy was standing there, and she looked like she had been crying. And it bothered me. But I kept on walking because I was looking for things that I get when I go to every island. And so on my way back to the boat, I passed her again. And she was still standing there in the same position, looking like she was crying. And I forget that these people don't speak English, but I started speaking English to her, and I wanted to know why she was crying. So the guy that was standing there, he understood English, and he said to me, it was her boyfriend. Oh, well, that's all I needed to hear. And I began to talk to her, and he began to interpret for me. And I was so elated that God positioned an interpreter right there for me. And I began to talk to her about Jesus. I did know that the Spanish name for Jesus was Jesus. And when I talked about him, I put my hands together like in a prayer form, and the young man was interpreting. And I told her, I said, my heart has been broken too. And I said, if the man broke your heart, put him behind you, because Jesus has a better plan and a better man for you. And by the time I finished with her, her whole countenance had changed. I was so elated. I could see the move of God at that moment right there. Nobody else approached us. And this young man was doing an excellent job at interpreting. And I knew that God was going to change her life. Now, I didn't have enough time to lead her into the sinner's prayer, but I got lost in trying to find the boat. So I'm running around. I'm asking the Mexican police where this dock is, and they can't even speak English. So I said, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to lead me to where this boat is. And I had a band that the boat guy put on all our wrists, and it had the number of the dock. So that's how I found my way back. But when I was actually going around a couple times the same way, I passed her by again, and she didn't even see me when I passed by. She was so busy. She was so into what her job was there. She was smiling. Her countenance had changed, and I felt so useful to the kingdom of God. And I just wanted to share that because oftentimes we get into an apathetic mode. And when we see somebody that's hurting on a street, we have an opportunity to stop our lives and minister to them. And so, When Prophet William was speaking earlier, and he said nobody liked him, people were far away from him, and nobody wanted to be bothered with him and stuff like that. And that's how the world feels sometimes. And sometimes God can shine a light on somebody that needs to hear the love of God through you, not to preach to them, but just to share. Like, all of us, if you heard Prophet Williams' testimony and his true story, can relate to something, even a little bit in that. And so somebody everywhere needs a touch from God, even you, even me, you know, needs a touch from God. And so right now, I know someone that always blesses my life when I tune into his ministry on Facebook. He is a true prophet of God. I always use the word clean because I've come across so many prophets, preachers, pastors, apostles that aren't clean, that the word clean dominates from my lips because it blesses me to have someone that the Holy Spirit says to me, this person is clean. Plus, everything that Prophet Irving Benjamin Jr. has ministered to me from the Lord has come to pass. So I'm honored to have him on the broadcast tonight. Prophet Benjamin. Thank you for waiting. The last shall be first. I know you have a word from the Lord for us. God bless you. Your mic is open. It's all yours.
Amen. Glory to God. We give God praise. Amen on tonight. Amen and to. Amen to the Prophet Williams. Glory to God to our Prophet Chadwick. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for them and how God used them. We thank God for our evangelist, Tia Linda Cazares. Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's been a long time since I've been on the broadcast, long time, glory to God, being here. But nonetheless, I thank God that we're here. Amen. Glory to God. And we give God the praise and we bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Glory be to God. And God uses me in a different type of way. Amen. Because honestly, I was like, Lord, what am I going to say? Amen. Glory to God on tonight, because it was like I literally became blank. But then as I was listening to the men of God, the prophets of God, amen, glory to God, then some things started to come forth. And then as I listened to our evangelist, amen, as she was talking about when she gave her life to the Lord, it took me back, amen, because I think I recently was thinking about this, that I gave my life to the Lord when I was very young. So I've been saved like over 30 years. And so, and I got saved, amen, glory be to God, when my brother was a baby, and he would go to the babysitter, and I would go there too. And I was curious about giving my life to the Lord. And so I remember the lady's name. I don't know if she's still alive today, but that was my brother's babysitter. She lived here in my neighborhood. Her name was Shirley Plato. And I asked her about it. I inquired about I wanted to be saved. How do you do that? And she took me to the scripture found in the book of Romans. And, I read the scripture. Amen. And I said, well, can I read this for my whole family? And I said, because I wanted my whole family to be saved. She said, no, it's a personal thing. Amen. So I thank God that God has entered my heart. Amen. Glory to God. And I give him praise and I give him glory and I honor him and I worship him. Amen. Glory to God. So I've been saved for a long time. Amen. Glory to God. But there's some things that I've been through in my life. Amen. Glory to God. And I just thank God and give him praise that even this year, glory to God, I made it to 25 years in ministry. Amen. So I give him God, I give him praise, and I'm going to make 25 more. Amen.
Amen.
Glory be to God.
Yeah.
So we give God the praise. Amen. Glory to God. But I wanted to talk about and deal with this word enter, and then I want to deal with the word Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. And I have some scriptures, amen, that I want to reference to. Amen. Glory to God. And so the word enter, it means to come or go into. I'm going to say that again. The word enter, it means to come or go into. And so when I looked at the word enter and I took the letter E, glory to God, the word that came to me was examination. Glory to God. And so when we look in the scripture, amen, found in the book of 2 Corinthians, amen, glory to God, 2 Corinthians, glory to God, chapter 5, verse 7, yes, glory to God, hallelujah, glory to God, glory to God, no, 2 Corinthians, my fault, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it says, examine yourselves where ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Amen. So it's important, glory to God, that when we want to give our life to the Lord, to the Lord Jesus Christ, that even before we give our life to the Lord and even after, amen, as disciples, as believers, Amen. Glory to God. We have to examine ourselves. Amen. Glory to God. We must examine ourselves. Amen. When you gave your life to the Lord, amen. Glory to God. You had to think about your life, where you were currently. What was going on during that time? For you to say, you know what? I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And then even after you gave your life to the Lord, we are still supposed to examine ourselves because we have not arrived. Amen. But every day we should be striving to be more like Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And so then we deal with the word, the letter N, which stands for newness. And then we go to the book of Isaiah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I love this. It's one of my favorite chapters and verses. 18 and 19 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, when you see the word behold, that means look, look, look. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? He said, I'm even going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So when you are a child of God, when you are a believer, regardless of what you face, regardless of what you go through, regardless of what you experience, understand and know, glory to God, that God is going to bring you through and he's going to bring you out. Glory to God. One thing I love about God, he'll never leave you hanging. One thing I love about God, he's not an Indian giver. Hello. Glory be to God. If God said it, it is so. Glory to God. So we dealt with examination. Then we're dealing with newness. Amen. Glory to God. Then I dealt with the letter T. Amen. And from that, you have tests, you have temptations, and you have trials. Amen. Glory to God. Because sometimes we have to understand that when we accept, glory be to God, even when you were out in the world, amen, you went through some stuff. But when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, glory to God, you go through some stuff that you say, woo, did I make the right choice? Glory be to God. But glory to God, you're going through for his name's sake. Amen. You're going through whatever you're going through. Amen. Glory to God that you can be able to relate others who are going through. Amen. No tests, no testimony. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And usually if you go into the store and or if you're going away, amen. Glory to God. When you're going away, amen. Glory to God. They have something called a trial size. Amen. You know, a trial size Listerine, a trial size toothpaste. Amen. A trial size little toothbrush. Amen. Glory to God. A trial size deodorant. Amen. It's just a trial size. But when I was just saying that, it kind of reminded me that scripture says that light affliction is just for a moment. Amen. Glory to God. So although you're going through your trial or your test or your temptation, it's just for a moment because there's something greater coming. Glory. There's something greater coming. Glory to God. So when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, yes, you're going to go through tests. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some temptations, some hardships, some obstacles, disappointments. Amen. And I heard my godmother say, our disappointments are God's appointments. Hello. Glory be to God. But nonetheless, amen, glory to God. You've got to understand, glory to God, once again, that God going to bring you out and bring you through. Let's go to 1 Peter. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter, glory to God. 4, 12, and 13. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye shall be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen. So I was talking about a few moments ago, amen, glory to God, that when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, amen, glory to God, there were some things that we begin to experience. Amen. And sometimes we experience those things because a lot of times God wants to know, glory to God, I call it a love test. He wants to know whether or not you love him for him or you love him for what you can get from him. Hello, hello, hello. Glory be to God. We can't serve God or treat God like a pimp. Hello, hello. Glory be to God. But we have to serve him with our whole heart. That's why you got to let him, enter in. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You got to let him enter in. Amen. So then, glory to God, I looked at the letter E. Glory to God. Dealing with enter now. Glory to God. And so, glory to God, he gave me elimination. Yes, elimination, elimination. Glory be to God. When we go to 2 Corinthians, my God, chapter 5, verse 17, glory to God. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, somebody ought to get happy right there, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, there go that behold again. It means to look now. Look, 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 look. Glory to God. All things are become new. Glory to God. So, glory to God. So there's some, so when we deal with elimination, glory to God, your past has been eliminated. Oh, that's a word right there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I often say your past has passed away. Glory be to God. So God does not look at your past. Amen. Glory to God. He looks at you now. Amen. Glory be to God. And that's what God wants us to concentrate on. The new creature that we're getting ready to enter. Glory to God. You know, Prophet Chad, glory to God. He talked about, glory to God, something about that number 8. Glory be to God. It's 8 days. Glory to God. I want y'all to catch the revelation. Glory to God. There's 8 days. Glory to God until the new year. Glory to God. 8 represents new beginnings. Glory to God. But then when I looked at January 1st, glory to God, January 1st, 1, 2022, it adds up to the number 8. Oh, somebody ought to catch it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So this is, glory to God, where we're today, I want to tell somebody, glory to God, I said it earlier in my broadcast when I did the breakthrough in prayer service tonight, earlier today at 12 noon. Glory to God. Today is today. Today is somebody's new beginning. Glory to God, your new beginnings for your new year. Glory to God. I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about tomorrow. I'm not talking about next week. I'm talking about, glory to God, today. Glory to God, today is your new beginning. Glory to God for your new year. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then I went, amen, with the number R, or rather the letter R, excuse me, and restoration. Because when you give your life to the Lord, he begins, he begins to restore you. Glory be to God. He begins to restore you. Let's go to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joel 2:25. Hello, hello. Glory to God. It says here, he said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, the canker worm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar, my great army which I've sent among you. Glory to God. There were some things in your walk with the Lord, in our walk with the Lord, that he allowed to happen in our lives. It wasn't all the devil. It wasn't all you. Glory to God, but it was God that allowed it to happen, glory to God, so that he can show us, glory to God, what he can do for you when you allow him to enter in. Good God here. Thank you, sir. Glory to God. When you allow my God to feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. When you allow the Lord to come in. Woo, yes, sir. All by shame. Glory to God. It's just like, glory to God, you get a new apartment. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. I'm talking. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Glory to God. When you get a new apartment, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Only thing that you have maybe is the carpet. Glory to God. That's already there. It's already furnished. Glory to God. But you need this and you need that and you need this and you need that. You need a refrigerator. You need a stove. Glory to God. You might need some curtains. Glory to God. And then God places you on the hearts of people. Glory to God. And they begin to, glory to God, they have that thing where they call it a home warming. Glory to God. And then people start blessing you with gifts. Glory to God. Glory to God. When you allow, I feel the Holy Ghost, Ishama. When you allow God to come into your heart, glory to God, you begin to feel the presence, Ishakiah, of the Lord. Abashe. Glory to God. And when you get in God's presence, he begins to release presence. Oh, somebody ought to catch that right there. Glory to God. When you get into God's presence, glory to God, then he begins to release presence. Glory to God. Christmas is in about two more days. Glory to God. Hello, hello. Glory to God. When you get into the presence of God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Then he release presence. Amen. Glory to God. Now, when we deal with Jesus here, glory to God, Jesus justified you. Yes, he did. He justified us. Glory to God. What do you mean, prophet? Let's go to Isaiah. Glory to God, 45 and 25. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, glory to God, and the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. I don't know about nobody else, but I'm one of his chosen. Israel represents chosen. I'm one of his chosen. Amen. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Glory to God. The woman of God put on, glory to God, she stated that we, the three prophets here, that we're part of the remnant. We're part of the chosen. Glory to God. And those of you that are watching, you're part of the chosen. So it says here in Scripture, Isaiah 45, 25, and the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. Amen. Glory to God. God's going to justify you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I think somebody used to say, I'm satisfied being justified. Oh, yeah. I'm satisfied being justified. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. When we deal with the E of Jesus, he elevated you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He elevated you. He elevated you. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Psalm 75. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to be done in about 10 minutes or less. Glory be to God. Psalm 75. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 6 and 7. It says, glory to God, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He put up down one and set up another. Glory to God. So it's God that elevates you. Glory to God. God, glory to God, the best promotion that you can ever get is from God. Talk back to me here. I said the best promotion you can ever get comes from God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It don't even come, glory to God, from your supervisor. Glory to God. It don't even come from your manager. Glory to God. That's good and dandy. Glory to God. But it's nothing like being promoted like God can promote you. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory to God. The S in Jesus stands for he separated you. My. Ooh, glory. He separated you. Glory to God. Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of Romans. Glory to God. Chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Chapter 8. Let's go down to 35. Verse 35. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things, we are more. Y'all better hear it now. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Glory to God. The you in Jesus, he uses you. He uses us. Glory to God. Let's go to the book of, Philippians chapter 1:1-6. Glory to God says, being confident of this very thing, that he which have begun a good work in you, my God, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody ought to get happy. Glory to God. Because, see, God getting ready to use many of you. Glory to God. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You, yeah, yes, you, yeah, yeah. You're talking about me? Yeah, you. Glory to God. As we're entering into this 2022, glory to God. God spoke to me, and he told me in this year of 2022, glory to God, he says, I'm going to use my remnant to cause great exploits. Glory to God. In the kingdom of God as well as the earth. Glory to God. Then he said something to me about 2022. He said, this particular year is a year, mandabashe, ikondenanabasaka, rosiaman sukuta, yerarabosha, of divine order. Glory to God. Glory to God. Everything got to be in order. Glory to God. If you want to see manifestation in 2022, you got to be in divine order. Good God here. If you want to see things manifest, oh, Giamma, glory to God. Things have to be in divine order. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now, the S, glory to God in Jesus, that last S, sanctify you. Glory to God. Let's go to St. John.
Prophet
glory
Benjamin, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You hear me?
Prophet Benjamin, are you there?
I'm here.
Your mic is still open, but I can't hear you.
Oh, wow. I don't know why. Probably that enemy. Glory to God.
Prophet Benjamin, are you there?
You hear me?
Your mic is still open, but I can't hear you. Did you touch something on your phone? Okay, I can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me? Okay, I can hear you now.
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Glory to God. So that S, that last S, glory to God, N is sanctify. Glory to God. He sanctified you. Let's go, glory to God, to St. John. Glory to God. You can hear me now?
Yes, I can
hear
you.
Evangel? Okay, good.
Yes.
Okay, St. John. Mm-hmm. St. John. Glory to God, chapter 17, glory to God, verse 19, it says here, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth, glory to God, which is the word of God. So when you, glory to God, when you get into God's word, glory to God, God begins to sanctify you. He begins, glory to God, to allow you to be able, glory to God, to understand truth, to see truth, glory to God. The Bible tells us, glory to God, I believe it's in the book of 1 Peter 2:9, where he said that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, glory to God, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. He said, glory to God, he said, I brought you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Glory to God. He did that, glory to God, so that you would be able, glory to God, to see and experience truth. He sanctified his disciples. He sanctified the people that he came in contact with, glory to God, with truth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to close, but I want to share something with you, glory to God, that was written by Rufus H. McDaniel. He said, what a wonderful change in my life has been worked since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus has came into my heart. Glory to God. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure. Since Jesus came into my heart, do I got a witness? And no dark clouds of doubt now. My pathway, since Jesus came into my heart, there's light
Hallelujah.
In the valley of death now for me. Since Jesus came into my heart, and the gates of the city beyond I can see. Since Jesus came into my heart, I feel the Holy Ghost, I shall go there to dwell in that city. I know since Jesus came into my heart, and I'm happy,
Hallelujah.
Happy, 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 so happy as onward I go. Since Jesus came into my heart, glory be to God. Since he came into my heart, glory be to God. I'm a different person. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 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 Since he came into my heart. Since he came into my heart. Glory to God. I encourage you on tonight that if you don't know Jesus and the pardon of your sin, glory to God, let him come in. Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. Let him come in. 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 Glory to God. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. Let Jesus come into your heart. Glory be to God. Thank you so much, evangelist. I pray, glory to God, something was said on tonight that the people of God have been blessed and encouraged and motivated. Thank you for this space, for this assignment. In Jesus' name, I love you all. Be blessed in Jesus' name.
Well, praise God. I am thoroughly blessed. Enter Jesus. Hallelujah. When he came into my heart, when he came into your heart, that was a grand entrance.
Yes. Yeah.
The only way that he could come in is when you open up your heart to him. That's why you have to ask him to come into your heart or come into your life. And sometimes we often lose sight of that. We're so distracted and busy. I know I am. And I have to ask God to forgive me and ask the Holy Spirit to help me back. Help me back to that place where I left off at. I truly believe that 2022 is a year of divine order. And I believe that it's a chance for the body of Christ, for church leadership to get into divine order. As a seer and a prophet, I know that for years, umpteen years, the body of Christ has been out of order. Leadership, great amount, number of leadership has been out of order. We saw it 4 years ago when nobody stood up for racial injustice. When church leaders stood up for everything else, which was fine, but not, they did not make themselves visible for about racial injustice. I believe when divine order comes to the church and when godly sorrow that reaps godly repentance comes to the body of Christ, that the Lord will send a wind to remove the epidemics in the earth. The viruses in the earth. I just believe that everything that goes on in the earth has to do with the church. When we get on one accord and unity in Christ, that's what Jesus prayed for, that we would be as one as he and the Father is one. We're not there yet. But we may not ever be there like Jesus wants us to be there. But there's a remnant that is there. There's a remnant that's there right now. There's a remnant that lives in order. There's a remnant that worships God in spirit and in truth. There's a remnant that has godly sorrow. The Holy Spirit doesn't condemn, but he convicts. And the Bible says that godly sorrow reaps godly repentance. When the church, when the remnant, there's a remnant in the church, which means that that's the remnant is going to be caught up to meet him in the air. I heard a prophet say a couple years ago that everybody in the body of Christ is not going to be caught up in the rapture. Lukewarmers will be left here. If you're not on fire for God, you're going to be right here while I'm going up to meet him in the air. Because that's who he's going to recognize when he cracks the sky. Hallelujah. I mean, that's the story of the 10 virgins. 5 wise ones were on fire. Their lamps were burning. Isn't that correct, Prophet Benjamin? Their lamps were burning. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I just give God all the praise, honor, and glory. I just want to receive him in a great and mighty way this season. He saved me this season. He gave new life to me 41 years ago this very week. And to enter into 2022 with a conscious effort that you're entering in a new year, determined that wherever you enter, through every open door, through in and out of your home every day, in and out of people's lives that you don't know, that you do know, that you enter with the Master, with the Most High God, and you enter with him with such fullness of the Ruach HaKodesh, such fullness of the Holy Ghost, that no matter what environment you're in, you could say, have a blessed day. Praise the Lord. People will identify you as who you are. And you'll reek the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So that's my word. I'm just so elated at the words spoken tonight, pronounced in our hearts, pronounced over our lives, and over our futures. Your future, my future, I'm glad about it. I'm happy. I'm at peace. I'm at rest. I'm entering, hallelujah. I'm entering 2022 with my focus that the Most High God is with me. I had a dream a couple weeks ago, and Jesus told me in a dream, I got your back, which meant to me that my back needed to be backed. I needed him to get my back. Something was going on that he could see that maybe I didn't know it was as deep as it is. When God tells you he got your back, then you can just move on without any concern about what's challenging you or what's trying to distract you or what's trying to tempt you.
Yeah.
So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. I thank you for all the listeners. I just bless God tonight for all of you that have dialed in and that have streamed in. If you streamed in at 9 o'clock, your streaming is going to subside. It's going to just cut off. But those that have dialed in, you're still on. And sometimes the broadcast goes on till 10 o'clock. But tonight, I'm getting ready to close the broadcast. I'm so honored. The Lord told me a couple of weeks ago that I needed one more broadcast before the new year. And I'm so glad that these prophets, the prophets of the remnant, were available. Hallelujah. We need to know the impact of what that means, prophets of the remnant, which means that God is going to use you in places where people don't even know you. You're going to speak a word and they're going to know you. They're going to know that you're a prophet of the remnant. And souls are going to be saved in the midst of you. So be ready to just invite souls to Christ. Every listener that's on these lines tonight, be ready to invite a soul to Christ. I didn't say invite them to church. That's fine. They could go into church unsaved and come out unsaved. I said invite them to Christ. So, Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Prophet Benjamin, I honor you as a prophet of God. Prophet William and Prophet Chadwick, I honor you as prophets of God. I thank you. I thank you for the relationship and the friendship. And I thank you that for what God has imparted to you that you've imparted to us tonight. God bless you, Prophet Benjamin. I'll be talking to you again soon.
Love you.
So I'm just going to end the broadcast simply like I usually do, saying only what you do for Christ will last. You don't have to impress him. Just obey him. God bless you. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Casseris saying good night. I pray God gives you a powerful dream tonight or into the new year that would impact your life in a new, greater way in Jesus Christ. God bless you and good night.